the 21st study from the Sermon on the Mount Bible Study Series. Now, our last message, we finished up chapter 6, and we looked at verses 25 through 34, which talked about worry. And we saw from the Scripture how worry is something we don't need to be doing, and we spend too much time doing it, and that actually certain worry is a sin. And because we're saying we don't trust Jesus enough when we worry about things that we can't do anything about. And then we also saw that he said that the answer was to rely on him, to come to him for all your needs. And so we saw that in that last chapter. Well, tonight as we look at the first six verses of Matthew chapter 7, it's going to deal with the subject of judging other people. And I realize I preached from this not too long ago, actually. So some of this may be a repeat from what I preached in that sermon, because that's just what the Lord's guided me in. But these verses of Scripture, let's not forget all the people that are there, all the multitudes, and especially the Pharisees and the scribes. It seems the whole Sermon on the Mount was kind of pointed toward not doing what they've been teaching. And the Lord has drawn out things that they had been introducing in religion to the Hebrews, to the children of Israel. They had been teaching them a certain way, and it got to be all just something of the physical nature, of the outward man is what they focused on. And so the Lord, just like he wants from us, he wants to focus on more of our inward person. Not so much our outward man, because we can fool and fake everybody out. But he wants to know what's down in here. And he wants to make sure what's down in here is sincere, and we're a type of Christian that he would have us to be. Sermon on the Mount, of course, is directed to those that live in God's kingdom. The whole thing is called, it's for his kingdom. So you'll find this is how people are going to live in the millennial kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. And these are the characteristics of people that are saved, or it should be. And so Jesus is teaching this, and so he gets on the subject of judgment, simply because the Pharisees and the scribes, they were very quick to judge. If you remember the lady that was taken in adultery, and how they brought her in there, and you know, in front of everybody, and even though the Bible says she was caught in the very act of adultery, but they were quick to make a judgment on her, and the Lord told them that he without sin to cast that first stone, and they all walked out. And from the eldest to the least. So these folks of everybody there was in the same type of mindset. It's so easy to quickly judge people. We are real easy to judge people. It's part of our human nature and our flesh that causes us to do that. We jump to conclusions. We have knee-jerk reactions. We think we know so much, that we're so smart that we know what that person's doing or what they're not doing, and we're real quick to look at them and see all their faults, but we're kind of slow to look at number one, ourselves. We think that we know it all. And so Jesus is kind of teaching about that. And he says, let's read our text, Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1. And Jesus said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm asking you to anoint me with the presence of teaching tonight, and wisdom, and God, that you keep us in the word and out of the flesh. For it's these things I ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, without a doubt, in your lifetime, you've heard somebody, whether it's a Christian or it's usually not a Christian. It's actually usually somebody living in the world, or it's a backslidden Christian. And no doubt you've heard them say this, "Judge not that you be not judged." if you say anything to anybody, call them out on anything they may be doing wrong, then they quickly want to throw that verse out there. Unsaved people throw that verse. They know that verse. And the devil uses that verse. And he uses it among Christians. And so the lost folks, they'll look at a Christian, if you say anything about their sin, judge not. I thought your Bible said not to judge people. And it's always a real smart elky attitude, and you know, and real uppity like. And they say, you know, you're not supposed to judge anybody, and all this. Well, the Word of God is—it's not really telling us that we are never to judge. That's not what it's talking about. It don't mean we can't discern and that we can't tell right from wrong, or good from bad, or wicked from evil, or evil from good. But it's more. We're not supposed to overlook things, but he's speaking more about the way that we point out things that are wrong with people, or the way that we jump to conclusions or assume, make assumptions. And so he wants to make sure that we're doing this right. Of course, we know from our studies, the Pharisees, their brand of religion was very controversial from this. They consisted mainly of their own made-up rules, their own laws. And, of course, they were very pretentious people. They would not be even in the presence of some people. Those tax collectors that they hated so badly, they didn't want to be nowhere near them. They didn't want to be around anybody they considered a sinner. And, so their teaching was very condemning. Very little instruction was given. Have you ever been under a pastor or a preacher that all he did was condemn? He never taught scripture. All he did was condemn people and condemn them to hell and talk about how bad you were, but never taught the scripture, never got into the God's word and said, this is what God's word says. But yet they're always constantly hitting you and bashing you. That's what the Pharisees did. And so Jesus is changing all that by telling the truth. And if anybody had the ability to do that, it was Jesus, because there was never a man that spoke like this man, they said. That he spoke like one that had authority. And so they'd never heard this type of teaching and preaching. They'd always heard the judgment to hell. That's all they heard, stuff like that. So he begins the section with, judge not that you be not judged. Now let's get the definition of judge, what it means. It comes from a Greek word, krino. And what it means is to separate, to put asunder, to pick out, select, and to choose. What it is choosing between one thing and the other. One thing and the other. It's evaluating two things. So you look at something, it's either good or bad in your eyes. It's hardly ever, you know, in the middle. But we always look at things as good or bad, white or black, you know. And so it makes a distinction between two things. In a broad view, it means to evaluate two things together and make a conclusion, whether you're right or wrong, and you make a judgment call. So, here is where people go wrong misinterpreting this scripture. Right away, someone, like I said, usually a lost person, and they're doing something sinful. The Bible points out what's sinful. We know what's sinful. We know things that God says are a sin. They're wrong. Make no mistake about it. God said it. His word is clear. It's a sin. And so, you find somebody that is clearly in sin. You say something about it. Now, you don't have to go and badger them over the head, you know, beat them up and, you know, tell them they're going to hell and all that stuff. But if you point out their sin and tell them it's a sin in God's eyes, the Bible says that's a sin, boy, they get really reared up. They're like an old baney rooster. And, you know, anytime you speak out against it, how they're living in sin, then they accuse you of judging them. And they use that phrase, judge not that you be not judged. And so, it's, for example, now I know I preach a lot and I teach a lot concerning people that have same-sex attractions, what they're going to call it now, sodomy, homosexuality, gay, whatever you want to call it. And the reason for that is because of such an abomination in God's eyes and such a wicked sin and a sin unto death. But today in our society, of course, society's accepted it as common. And they pass laws even to say that it's legal and all this. But God's word says it is not. It is not something to take lightly. It's a sin, blatant sin. So when a pastor, a teacher, a Christian says something against someone like that, they automatically say, you're judging me. You're judging me. But we're not judging them. We're saying this is a sin. The Bible, it's clear the Bible says it is a sin. Whether the man says it's okay under the law, it's still a sin. The same with the abortion issue that's really in the front news right now. You know, they'll say, well, it's legal. It's law. Since 73, this is legal. There's nothing wrong with it. According to God's word, it is murder. According to God's word, it is a sin. And so when we say that, then they say, well, Christians are judging us. Look at those judgy Christians. We're not judging them. We're saying this is what God's word says. So what you always want to do when you're making a judgment call, what does God's word say about that, about what I think? Is his word condemn it, or does his word not even cover it? Does he not say anything about it? Is it a sin in God's eyes, or is it not? And so certain things, people automatically assume you're judging them because they're deep in their sin. The reason for that, a sinful person, if they're not a Christian, they don't have the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Remember, when you were saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you and dwells in you. The Holy Spirit guides your life. He's your compass. He tells you what to do. He opens your thoughts. He makes your mind spiritual. When you read the Bible, a saved person, the Holy Spirit guides and illuminates Scripture and shows you things from Scripture. The lost person does not have that. They cannot get illumination from Scripture. They cannot understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. They don't know. They can't understand it. And so when we say it's a sin, they don't understand that. They just assume you're judging. It's like if you're driving down here on 640. The speed on the interstate is 55 miles an hour. And if you're like most people, you drive 75 miles an hour. If the cop gets up behind you and pulls you over and writes you a ticket for going over 55, you cannot say, you're judging me, because it's the law. The law says you're not supposed to go over 55. He wrote you a ticket. That's the law. God's word is the law. That's what he means. If he says it's a sin, it is a sin. And when you break that, you've broken his laws. And so you're guilty. You're not getting judged. Well, listen here, Mr. Policeman. You're judging me. I'm not paying that ticket. This is a judgment call. It's not a judgment. You clearly went over the speed limit. You broke the law. If the same thing with pointed out sin. Lying, stealing, cheating. You know, you can point it out, and somebody that's trying to defend what they're doing, they accuse you of judgment. But it's not judgment. God's word says that's a sin, so it's wrong. So when Jesus states, judge not to be not judged, he isn't saying don't disagree with anyone's sin lest they disagree with your sin. That's not what he's saying. And what he's saying is do not wrongfully judge others. Don't jump to conclusions and assume that you know what they're doing is wrong. First, find out for sure. In other words, don't jump to these conclusions and pass judgment on people so quickly. And we're bad about that. We need to know the facts. We find ourselves guilty of this by judging people's appearance. Now, that's one of the bad things about the way things are now. You see somebody, they look a certain way, they talk a certain way, they act a certain way, and you make assumptions in your mind of something about them. For example, let me tell you, they'll give you this example. I work with a guy who is very feminine-like in his character. He's got feminine looks to him. He speaks high, not like most men speak. He has a more feminine-sounding voice. And he dresses a little differently than we do. But this man is not gay. But he is thought of to be that way because of his appearance and because of his the way he's made. But people make assumptions and believe he's that way because he seems a little on the feminine side. So what you do when you do that, you quickly make a judgment call on somebody. You know nothing about them. And because of their looks, you've judged them to be something that they're not. And so what do? Then we go whisper, I think that guy's, you know, he's lighting his loafers. And we make a judgment call. And that's a sin. That's wrong. People that maybe you see somebody, meet somebody that they're covered in tattoos. You don't know that they're currently living in a wicked lifestyle. Perhaps they used to. Perhaps they made bad judgment calls back when they were younger, got tattooed up. Now they regret it. And they want to be part of the body of Christ. And they want to come in here and worship with us. And yet we see a tattoo on their arm. We're like, I believe they live a wicked lifestyle. We jump to that conclusion. That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't be so quick to judge people. They may be out of that lifestyle. They may be living a holy life. And so we got to be very careful. Let me give you an example in the Bible. Turn over to Matthew 26 and 6. Matthew 26 and 6. Here in Matthew 26 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and he set it meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste?" Look at that word. What purpose is this waste? "For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said to them, "Why trouble you the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for memorial of her." Jesus put them in their place real quick, didn't he? Here they are assuming that she's a wastrel. What kind of woman is this? This woman to come in here and wasting this life. We could have done a lot better at this. Just made a judgment call on her, and Jesus says, "Hang on, man. She's done a lot more than you've done. You had these. You've got the poor with you all the time. Look at her. She's doing this," and he even tells them, "She's doing this to prepare me for my burial, and that this will be remembered for her for a memorial wherever the gospel's preached." And we're still preaching it right here in our Bible. Still, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about that woman. So the disciples, they wrongfully judged her, declared her a wastrel. Verse 8 said they had indignation. That means self-righteousness. That means they riled up in their, self-righteous Christianity. Looked down on her and judged her as something that she wasn't. When we do this type of thing, when we judge other people wrongfully, here's what we do. We're guilty of judging them when we automatically think the worst of people. Automatically you think the worst of somebody. You've judged them already. Why do we always do that? Why don't we think of the best of everybody? That person has done this or done that. Why don't we think of those things? No, we want to go to the worst thing they've ever done and judge them for that. And never forget it. But we'll never forget it of how they used to be or what they've used to do. We are guilty when we only talk to other people about that person's faults. You know these people, every time they come to you, they've got something to gossip and tell you about somebody else. Oh, boy, you know what I heard? You know what I saw them do? You know what I heard that they did? And we start wagging the tongue, tearing them down. It makes us guilty of judgment. We judge them, like I said, when we base everything about that person on one incident in their life or something in their past. Like a young lady that might have got pregnant when she's a teenager or something, wasn't married, and the rest of her life, there'll be people. Yeah, she had a baby, and she wasn't married. And they'll think of that every time they see her. And that makes us guilty of judging that person's character. People mess up. People do things. We are guilty when we judge others without first putting ourselves in their place. The next time you think that you want to judge somebody, look at their situation and put yourself in it and say, what would I have done differently? What if that had happened to me? What if I'd made that mistake? What if it was me that had done what they did? And think about that for a little while and wonder what people would say about you. When we judge others, we need to remember that we will be judged with the same thing. The Lord says we'll be judged by the same measure as we've judged other people. So the Lord reminds us in verse 2 of our opening text. He says, "For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." So we aren't prohibited to judge people, but we're to be very careful that when we do it, we're doing it in a biblical way, that we're not making a quick, uneducated guess or something, but that we are correct in what we think is wrong or right, and that we will hold ourselves to that same judgment And that's what he says. You've got to hold yourself to the same judgment. So we're always quick to find fault in other people. And we ignore our own faults. And that's what Jesus comes to in these next verses. Look at this illustration he makes in verse 3. He said, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now this is a funny illustration that the Lord uses, and I believe it hit home to these folks. He is drawing a picture mentally of a man walking around with a tube before in his eye, and looking at another man that has a toothpick in his. These words, mote. Mote is a dry twig. The beam is a stick of timber. And so it's like comparing a toothpick to a tube before. So you can only imagine, you're looking at somebody with a toothpick in their eye, and here you are with a tube before stuck in yours. You're saying, "Hey, let me help you get that toothpick out of your eye right there. Let me tell you what you're doing wrong and help you out." The whole time you're walking around with a big old beam sticking out of yours. And he says, "You're a hypocrite. Hypocrite. Look at yourself. Go look in the mirror." Now, when it comes to judgment, there is one person that has the right to judge all in every situation. Let me give you some scripture references. John chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." Jesus has the ability to judge all for any purpose. John 5 and 27, "And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Since Jesus was fully God and fully man, he is the man-God. And the Bible calls him the Son of Man. That's because he identifies with man. He's God in the flesh. And he is the one that has the authority to execute judgment on man. Acts 10 and 42. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead." Talking about Jesus. Jesus is the judge of the quick and dead. Acts 17 and 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead." So there'll be a day, the Bible says, he will judge. He'll judge all. 2 Corinthians 5 and 9. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." So we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll answer for the times that we've wrongfully judged, because he is the judge. One more verse here of reference. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" There'll be a day of judgment of wrath. And that's going to be for all the wicked, all the sinners, the great white throne judgment in which the Lord will judge sin. So there are many verses in the Bible that proves this, who is the authority to judge and who's not. We are, as Christians, we are given the leeway to discern from right and wrong, from good and bad, but we're not given the right to judge people quickly and condemn them without knowing the truth. We still have to make judgment calls. You know, there's a big misconception. When people think of Christians and Jesus in particular, they think of some weak, frail, meek. I mean, he was meek and lowly for sure, but he was not some little frail weakling. He was not some little meek man that wouldn't stand up for himself or anything like that. I want you to know that Jesus was a powerful man. I believe Jesus to be a very strong and intimidating person. If you remember when he went into the temple and they were selling animals in the temple and exchanging money in the temple, and what did he do? The Bible says he took some braids and made a whip out of them and whipped the people out of that place. He turned the tables over and ran them out with those whips. You want to tell me some little frail, weakling man did that? He's an intimidating, powerful man. Remember, he was a carpenter. Kurt can tell you back there. He ain't going to get no little weak man carrying lumber and building and doing things. It takes somebody with a little bit of power. Jesus was not a little weak man. And so, you know, when people think of Christians, they think we all need to be these little bitty wimps and not ever stand up for anything, right or wrong. So then he comes to the last verse in this particular lesson, verse 6. And he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." So here is another example of how we must make a judgment call. Right here's a perfect example. So we have to judge between who's going to be dogs and hogs here. And the only way to do that is if we know what God's Word says. If we see somebody and we see maybe what they're doing and we know for, without a shadow of doubt they're doing this, God's Word says that's a sin, we make a judgment call. And the Bible says right here not to give that which is holy unto dogs. Now, we are to share the gospel. The Bible tells us to go out and preach the gospel unto every creature. But there comes a time when you don't share the gospel with some people. There comes a time when you're dealing with certain people, and they've already been, I believe there's a lot of people today that's already been given over to that reprobate mind. These people today that's already been given over to their flesh. And they'll make fun of you, they will tear you down, they'll do all these things. Friends, there comes a time you must make that decision. You must discern as a Christian. I'm casting my holy things under the dogs, my pearls under the swine, because all they want to do is rend you, he said. They'll turn again and rend you. And so he says, don't do it. Over in Hebrews 5:14, the Bible says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So a Christian must have the ability to discern between good and evil and understand those times. I want to look at one more place before we finish. First John 4:1-6, if you want to turn there. 1 John 4:1-6. This is for Christians to discern the spirits, discern the man of God. Discern the religions today that claim to be Christian or claim to be the religion. Listen to what he says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he knoweth. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So the Holy Spirit works inside of a Christian to be able to tell between the truth. And we are discern the spirits. We don't just fall for anybody that comes up and tells you that they're a so-called Christian or they're a so-called religious person. Everybody don't believe the same way as we believe. You take these false cults, these religions today, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Latter-day Saints. You take these people like that. These people are not Christians. They're not Christians. They're cults. And the Bible says that we're discerned between them. We're to try the spirits and prove them. And we can. We can prove them. When the Jehovah Witnesses denies that Jesus Christ is the way to God, they deny the Trinity. They deny the blood of Jesus as being the salvation. They deny it. They're a cult. They're a false witness. They're a false spirit. And so we have to be very careful and try the spirits. That which is holy That'd be referring to, of course, religious things, things of religious nature, Christian things, things of God. And in your pearls, that's referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel. Now, the Bible talks about pearls. We talk about the pearl of great price and how that was the gospel there of Jesus. And so the Bible's pretty clear that when we do make judgment calls, we do it the right way, the Bible way, the God way, and not the man way, flesh way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible study tonight. Lord, I pray that you help us continue on as we finish out this Sermon on the Mount Bible study series. Lord, we thank you for what you've told us in your word. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, God. Without it, Lord, we'd be lost. And Lord, we're just thanking you tonight for these that's here. Lord, I pray that you keep them safe on their way home tonight. And help this church, Lord. Help our membership here, God. Help us in this community. And Lord, help us as we witness to other people, Lord. And give us that ability to discern between right and wrong, God, and to try the spirits. And God, we thank you and we love you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.